Well, Halloween seems like it was just yesterday. Thanksgiving seems like it is just tomorrow. And Christmas sounds like it's the day after. We are flying through this year. We are flying through this year. I want to take us back to Halloween just for a moment. On Halloween, as children were coming and going, trick-or-treating in our neighborhood, members of The Well, the new church plant that we're starting here, they gathered inside our house, enjoying fellowship with one another. On the outside, I was sitting by a bowl filled with candy. One for a child, two for me. One for a child, two. No, I'm just kidding. But I was sitting by this bowl filled with candy, resisting temptation, when I noticed a girl. We will call her Joanna. She was walking up the driveway, and she was not dressed in a costume, and to be honest, she looked a little old to be trick-or-treating. In her hand, she carried a plain bag, a cheap bag, a plastic bag that you'd get from Walmart. Unlike the nice, expensive pillowcases or the store-bought plastic pumpkins many of the children had been carrying that night. We struck up a conversation there beside the candy bowl. She said that she was at her house, sitting in her room, looking out the window, watching all these kids go up and down the street trick-or-treating with their moms and their dads. Originally, she had made plans to go trick-or-treating. She had even had a costume bought and that she had planned to wear that night. But that was earlier in the week. It didn't take long before I realized this girl, this 16-year-old girl, was new to the area, and that a week ago she didn't know she was moving. Her move was sudden. She shared that her family had been struggling. She lived at home with her mother, a single parent. But then her mom lost her job, like so many. And then they lost their home. And her mother, unable to find work and going to wherever work was, doing whatever was necessary to support her and her daughter, she decided to give her some stability, some order in her life. And so she took her to live with a family friend, a trusted family friend, until she could get back on her feet. And together she and her daughter could find a new place to live. When that family friend raped her, she stabbed him to get away. He was arrested. She was arrested. With nowhere to go, she was removed from the situation. And at 16 years old, was placed into the foster care system. So tonight, with no costume, with no friends, with no family, she sat in her room, watching as moms and dads, sons and daughters, made their way from house to house, having fun together, trick-or-treating. She decided to go trick-or-treating. So she grabbed the only thing she could find, a cheap plastic bag. She headed down the street. Some homes gave her some candy. Some homes told her to go away. She was too old to be trick-or-treating. She came for candy. She came to go trick-or-treating. However, you and I know that candy was not what she was really looking for. After listening to her story, I asked her, I said, "Are you okay?" She looked straight into my eyes, and as she said no, she broke down crying. Wouldn't you know it, I was the first person simply to ask if she was okay. In a world that seemed to not notice her, in a world that seemed to not care, in a world that seemed to push her aside, to forget about her, she had found someone who saw her and took the time to speak with her. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus is going on about his business. Jesus is traveling from one place to the next. He gets tired. He stops to sit down and rest near the Samaritan city of Sychar at a place we have come to know as the well. At the same time, a woman from the city comes to the well to draw water because she is thirsty. She is just trying to do the things she needs to do to make it through her day. Now, over the years, people have talked about this woman in many ways. She has been portrayed as a sinner. She has been portrayed as an outcast among her own people. She has been portrayed as a nobody, worthless, unworthy. Still today, she does not even have a name. She is forever known only as the Samaritan woman at the well. This morning, I want us to put all that to the side because turns out, whoever she is, whatever she has been through, whatever she has done, whatever she has not done, isn't all that important to what happens next. Here at the well, a community gathering place, paths cross, people meet, and conversations begin. The encounter at the well is not a planned meeting. It's not on the calendar to get together at this time and in this place. It's just two people going about their daily business who along life's way, unbeknownst to them, God has guided them to meet at the well. She may be considered by history to be a nobody. But Jesus does not turn away from this woman. Jesus is not too busy for this woman. Jesus sees her. Jesus recognizes the opportunity to be in ministry with another person. Because of the encounter with Jesus at a place called the well, not only is her life changed, but an entire city is transformed. An entire city is saved. Disciples learn from and live into the very things our Lord Jesus has taught us. Not just in theory, but in reality. Not just an idea, but a way of living. Discipleship is more than just saying we are Christians because we believe. Discipleship is a way of life. It is a lifestyle as a result of our belief. Our behavior always, always indicates what it is that we believe. Like the Samaritan woman, our young friend Joanna comes with a story. She comes with baggage, as many of us do. Somewhere along the way, she became convinced that what she has been through, that her current situation, that the label of foster child now, now defines who she is and determines what she is able to do in life. Can't you just hear her saying, "How is it that you ask a drink of me, a foster child who is broken and now is without a place to call home?" Friends, her situation does not define who she is or determine what her next steps are. What we have been through, our situations in life, the places we live, the circumstances around us do not define who we are. Like you and me, this child, Joanna, is a child of God. She is a princess of the King. She is a princess of the one true King. Oh, how easily this encounter could have been missed. After all, there was a party going on inside the house. What kind of host was I to those who had gathered? What kind of host would I have been to Joanna if I had turned away from this child? Friends, looking back at our gospel lesson, what if Jesus had not taken a break from what he was doing? What if Jesus had not stopped to rest long enough to notice the thirsty woman at the well? What if Jesus had ignored her? What if Jesus had not struck up a conversation with this person whose path he crossed? She would have never come to know Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our King. She would have never received the good news. She would have nothing to tell when she went back home into the city. And the community in which she lived would not have been transformed through the experience of God's loving grace. What might it look like? What might actually happen if we all were to do the things that Jesus taught us to do, like taking the time to have a conversation with people at the well? How might that bring change in their lives and transformation in the community at large? Friends, people just like the Samaritan woman and just like Joanna, who came to the candy bowl a couple weeks ago, they aren't the only ones who are looking for something more, who are thirsty for something more in this life. I have been tasked with beginning a new church in Fayetteville, Western Fayetteville, called The Well. We are focusing in on an area of nearly 22,000 people, which, while it does include Christians and those connected to churches, it also includes many, many, we're talking thousands, who do not yet know our Lord and who have not tasted the living water that Jesus offers. Like the Samaritan woman at the well, there are many people out there, so many Joes and Joannas in this world, who are tired of trying to fill in that space in their lives with things that do not provide a long-term solution. There are so many Joes and Joannas out there who are lonely, who are unable to see, who are frightened, who are lost, and who are tired of living life that way. They are thirsty for something more than this world offers. And so they say, surely there has to be more to life than this. And you and I in here today, we all know that they are right. There is more. There is so much more. Friends, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We cannot turn away. We cannot miss the opportunity to be the catalyst that brings people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus, who then quenches their thirst, changes their lives, and transforms their communities. I've lived in Fayetteville only since July, but I will tell you what I am tired of. I am tired of teenagers shooting teenagers. One high school on this side of my house, one high school on this side of my house, and both of them since July have had school shootings. Not on school property, but they're called a school shooting anyways. Student on student. I am tired. For some reason, there seems to be a concentration of children born with autism in the Fayetteville area, higher than anywhere else in Fayetteville. I mean, higher than anywhere else in North Carolina. And in the state of North Carolina, it's 1 in 68. I think it's 1 in 58 in Fayetteville, in Cumberland County. And I'm tired of families that are impacted by autism feeling like they have no place to go because churches don't welcome them. I am tired about hearing how another member of the military, active, veterans, retired, how they get to that point in their life where there's nothing else to live for. Or they are in so much pain that the only way they can see out is to commit suicide. We live in a community where people are thirsty for something more. Friends, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And we have been sent by our Lord to make more disciples. To not just tell people what they need to do to get where they're going, but to show them how to live life and how to live life together. By walking together down the road, showing them the way. That's what we are doing at the well in Fayetteville. As people gather at the well, they are welcomed. thirst are quenched by the living water that Jesus offers. Their lives are changed through the love and grace of God Almighty. And as they go forth, they will be led by the Spirit to lead transformation in their homes, in their schools, in their places of work, in their neighborhoods, in their clubs and organizations, wherever they might be. At our house that night, Joanna took notice of the people coming in and out of our home. And it interested her. She said, "Do all these people live here?" "No. No. But we are all family." I went on to share that I was a pastor, and that this is a new church start that centers on creating a family of disciples who follow Jesus. It didn't take long for her to see that this family had people of all ages, that there were people of different skin colors, and that all of them seemed to care for each other. She was very interested in this extended family. And she said, "Do you think it'd be okay if I joined?" Members of this family, this extended family called the Well, walked her home that night. The neighborhood had quieted down. The streets were empty. We walked her home for two reasons. One, because I come from a place, and I know I don't look that old, but a time when you walk a young girl home. More importantly, though, it also meant that no longer would she have to walk this road alone. No longer would she have to be alone. She had gotten a taste of that living water that Jesus offers. How might that change her life? How might it transform the home that she has been placed in? How might it transform the world she lives in? Friends, this is the real deal. I'm here. We are here. And we are joining in the work that God is doing by meeting people where they are and inviting them to come and see. To come and see this man named Jesus who offers living water at the well that quenches deep thirst in a dry world. However, we cannot do this alone. We cannot do this alone. And so we turn to our family, our extended family, because we are all related through Jesus Christ. We are all brothers and sisters with our Lord. We need your help. Will you help us to reach out and to come alongside the Joes and Joannas of this world? Will you help us establish a place where the children of God, regardless of their life stories, can come to meet Jesus at the well? Friends, if God is whispering in your ears, if there's a deep stirring in your soul to do something, there are three unique ways that you can join in the work that God is doing through the well. The first is through prayer. This is the most important thing you can do to help us. Pray with us. Pray for us. Pray for the well and its ministries. Pray for the people, even though you don't know them, even though we may not know them. Pray for those who God is already preparing their hearts and their minds to receive the good news that Jesus offers. Pray. Prayer is the most important thing you can do. The second, and it may sound a little silly, a little strange, but I have learned never to assume who is or who is not on Facebook. If you are on Facebook, please find us and like our page, facebook.com/seeyouatthewell. See you at the well. Even though you don't live in Fayetteville, it doesn't matter if you live in Kipling or if you live in China or if you live in Canada or if you live in Argyle, Texas. If you like our Facebook page, the more likes we have opens up more tools and resources from Facebook to target the community we're in. The more likes we have helps us to utilize those resources Please like our page. And the third, which some people say should always be the first, but it's not, because prayer is the most important. And reaching others in that prayerful state of being is second. The third is to make this thing go, and that is through donations. I thank you already that you've taken up a love offering. I was not expecting that. I was just going to throw it out there and let the Spirit do what the Spirit does, and some respond and some don't. Donations, or as I like to call them, investments, because it's not just about throwing money at something. It is a literal investment in this ministry. It is a literal investment in the lives of those who God is reaching through the well. It is a literal investment in not only their lives, but the lives of their children and their grandchildren and those to come after. That is the third way that you can help us. Many of you received a brochure on the way in. I'm not sure if we ran out, but if you receive one, there's information about how you can do that. Personal investments, the investments as a group or a church, you can mail it in. You can even do it online, or you can share that with us today before we leave. Those are three unique ways you can help us: prayer, liking our Facebook page, and making an investment. I am grateful for the opportunity to come before you to proclaim the good news, to share with you the wonderful things that God is doing, and as your brother in Christ to ask you for help. I find it exciting at a time when we hear often about church membership decline and about churches closing doors. This is the good news. The church is not dying. It may look different sometimes, but the church isn't going away. God didn't call me to close doors. God called me to open them. And I believe God has called you to do the same. In all that we do, my friends, to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. To God be the glory. Amen. Will you stand and let us together sing Rescue the Perishing, which is number